Welcome, everyone. My name is Margaret Herde, and I have a great pleasure to be a co-host of the Pulse of Dubai podcast. It's a great to be back. Today, we are starting with our first episode of the season, and I'm very much pleased to introduce my guest, Ghassan Hajjaj, the protocol and etiquette consultant and the fragrance expert. For those who don't know Ghassan, I would like to mention that after he graduated from the Protocol School of Washington in 2005, he started training for corporations and individuals in the Arab Gulf countries on matters of etiquette and protocol. He has provided training in more than 35 countries. He lived in 6 countries and he speaks 10 languages. A very much impressive journey, and it's my greatest pleasure to have you on the Pulse of Dubai show.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Pulse of Dubai, a podcast from the heart of UAE. Whether you're a tourist, an entrepreneur, a working professional, or a business owner in Dubai, you're sure to pick up tidbits of actionable advice when you tune in.
So before I'm going to start with dedicated questions, please share with us your story and tell us how you entered the world of protocol and fragrances and when Dubai became your home.
Dubai has been my home since 2003. So this year I'll celebrate 20 years in this magnificent country and city, of course. And so, yes, I guess very much like so many other expats now that have been here for a very long time, I really feel that this is my home. My interest in protocol, of course, I'm Danish-Lebanese, but in all honesty, probably the Danish side plays a much bigger role in my life culturally. So it has inspired, or not inspired me, but it has impacted me much more. Let me put it in that way. Denmark, of course, is a kingdom. So with lots of royal events that have always had my attention and that I've always been very passionate about. And therefore, I have followed every kind of event you can imagine, being at birth, weddings, funerals, and so on, engagements, all kinds of dinners. And I've been very dedicated to learning about that, not only in Denmark, but just with royalty across the world in general. And so at some point while I was here, of course, Dubai is a city with so many nationalities. And I realized that, you know, it's so important when you need to deal with people of so many different cultures that you kind of know how to also behave appropriately. And so I came across the Protocol School of Washington, and I saw that they actually offered trainings in how you can become a trainer in etiquette. And so I went to the U.S. and I took this course. And then, of course, this fire was ignited a lot more. And then I realized that, well, you could also train not just on the etiquette side of things, but even the protocol. And so I was trained further, and I've done a lot of trainings now for the Protocol School of Washington in this region in particular, which I'm very proud of. And with time, you gain knowledge, you gain expertise. I took a course with the United Nations today. I frequently do trainings for the United Nations on matter of protocol. And yes, that's it.
Very much impressive journey, and we are very glad to have you here in the country, in the region, because such a great value added to all of us, you know, to learn from you. It's very important. I strongly believe it's a very important topic, as also in the present world, to know more about the etiquette and the protocol. And can you give us a little bit understanding the part of the fragrances, from where this coming from?
Fragrances is a little bit of a coincidence. This is my day-to-day job. I work with fragrances for the biggest cosmetics group in the world, which is L'Oreal. And it really started as more of a coincidence, mainly because I had a very strong love for the brand Yves Saint Laurent as a brand. And at a point, I was offered an opportunity to join the Yves Saint Laurent team. That was back in Copenhagen in Denmark. And then after a few years, they asked me to move to Paris to the headquarters. And with time and having worked for a while with them, Yves Saint Laurent was the beauty part of Yves Saint Laurent was purchased by L'Oreal. So we joined the L'Oreal group. And slowly, slowly, I started to share my expertise with some of the many other amazing brands that are within the L'Oreal luxury portfolio. And then it just became, you could say, my everyday today is to speak about fragrances and to educate on fragrances for these many beautiful brands that I work with on a daily basis.
Fantastic. Let me go back to the business protocol and the etiquette. I will start with a few questions. So living in a city like Dubai, where we have more than 200 nationalities, can you please introduce us to the difference between the business etiquette and the ordinary manners? Is a culture plays a significant role, or may I ask you to highlight the universal principles of the protocol?
Okay, so we're talking about a few different things. Well, if we begin by manners, every society, every culture has what they consider manners, which are common practices of how people behave in society, generally speaking. Then you have business etiquette. Business etiquettes are, of course, based on manners, but they differ, again, from place to place based on you could say, the culture. But at the same time, if we look at a place like Dubai and the UAE as a whole, this is one of the major international hubs of the world. That means that there has to be a common ground. There has to be a common language. And I'm not talking of language as in a language that's spoken, but as a common forms of behavior that people can relate to, that people can understand. And of course, even though we all bring different values and different manners from our background with us, to succeed in interacting with one another, we need to be able to find some common ground. And this is what business etiquette is very much. So very often, many corporations and companies will have certain rules that they expect us to follow. And it makes things a lot more easy, and it makes things a lot more helpful. There's also, of course, differences in general between, you could say, business etiquette and then social etiquette. One of the more very straightforward classical examples is that a lot of women around the world have been taught that when they shake hands with a man, they don't need to stand up necessarily. And this remains the case in social etiquette. But in business etiquette, we don't make a distinction between men and women. And therefore, a woman would always stand up if she's shaking hands with someone in the world of business, because otherwise she would kind of be showing a sign of her weakness. And that used to be very fashionable in social etiquette, probably a lot more years ago, but it was considered refined if a woman was weak. Today, not many women like to come across as weak, and therefore she shows that she's the equal of a man by standing up, for example. If we go to protocol, so protocol, again, it's based very much on etiquette to a certain extent, meaning manners, but protocol is really putting in place systems to make things easier, especially when you have high-level events, when you deal with VIPs. It's really to let the people involved know how to focus on the things that they really need to focus on. And the easiest example I can give you is if we are four people that need to go in and meet someone, we cannot usually be four people that pass through the door at the same time. So one is going to have to go through the door first, and then the second person, and then the third. And if you know in which order, you avoid the chaos. The same goes for example, dining etiquette, but even more importantly, if you're invited to a formal dinner somewhere, if you know which fork and knife to use for which course, then you can focus on what you're really there for, which is the art of conversation with the other people that are there, and not sit and be in a panic over, am I using the right utensils for my meal?
Absolutely true. It's very important. I think, you know, I'm a big, fan, in this way, of the business etiquette, you know, of the good manners overall. I think it's very important because we don't even realize how much it represents us. And I would love to have this topic, you know, this area to be a part of daily education, you know, for the kids. I think it would be very much helpful for them to grow. I don't want to say in the right direction, but in a good direction. Just it's, I think for me, it's an area of education, which should be available for everyone. And it will help us, like, you know, in the daily base life, and even, you know, if our career grow as well, the point which you just mentioned about.
Well, if you didn't say the right direction, I will definitely say that it would be the right direction. I wish there would be more of it. You see, we've come into a situation today where you have a lot of parents that don't necessarily teach their children manners at home, but they also get offended if the teacher teaches the children's manners at school. And so the question is, who's going to do it? Because ultimately, people need to learn manners. It's very, very important. And it's true that anywhere you go in the world today, I find people that are really polite and nice and, you know, have a lot of manners. But I would also argue that today, never before have I seen so many people with so bad manners and who are so self-centered and only concerned with their own well-being or their own needs right here, right now. And so they have a disregard. And I don't think often that it's because they tend to be, they want to come across as mean or want to come across as uncaring. I just think that they're so focused on their own needs that they tend to forget. And of course, this is, in my opinion, a recipe for disaster very quickly.
I very much agree. And I always remember my auntie, she mentioned many years back, she said, if you don't know, just be kind. Because there is always a time to learn, but the kindness always at least represent the good manners. So it's better, you know, when we are in the position that we want to learn, we want to grow, instead of when the ego takes a lead, you know, in the particular situation.
Absolutely. And you said something important, when you don't know, because I had someone once, I remember, that was very offended at someone who didn't stand up when the person was greeting them, only to much later in the evening understand that this was a person who was not capable of standing up. So then the person that had been complaining all of a sudden felt a sensation of guilt, because he'd not been very friendly. He'd been almost rude in greeting because he was personally offended by that person not standing up. Now, so this is, I like the approach of your aunt. Always be kind, because you never know what is the situation. Is there a specific reason behind it? And do I really need to know the reason? No, because it doesn't cost me anything to be kind to other people.
Let go of the second question. I would like to understand, I mean, I do know that we should be on time, but let's highlight this in this way. Why is it important to be on time when we meet someone or we have a business event or the dinner, and what everyday etiquette mistakes we should definitely avoid?
Well, you know, it's important to be on time because we need to respect other people's time. And it's true that, you know, we don't have to go many decades back when people were a lot more flexible with time. But today we live in a very fast-paced world. Things happen very, very quickly. And a lot of people, they time, you know, everything down literally to the minute. So first of all, we can't waste other people's time. Plus, we also need to know that sometimes if we're late, that could impact someone else, because if the person we're meeting with then has another meeting with someone else, and let's say that someone else that person has a meeting with is a breastfeeding mother who then might be late for getting home to her child. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily think of the consequences. So, you know, and very often I'll hear the excuse, oh, but there was too much traffic. Yes, but we know there's too much traffic. So if you know that it will take you half an hour to get somewhere, you leave at least 45 minutes in advance, if not an hour, because it's always better to wait there and plan your time in that sense than it is to come late to an event, of course.
Absolutely. I do agree very much with you. And actually, it's very also interesting to observe with the different nationalities how valued a time. And I still remember my great experience with the Japanese delegation in London. And for them to be on time means that you're already late. They always before the time. And it's I do like and very much respect this part. If I may ask you about our everyday etiquette mistakes, what we should avoid?
There are so many things. I mean, of course, being late is one of them, but it's also in the way that we say things and ask for things. It's to remember our please and our thank yous. I think these are very, very important. Not to raise our voice, not to be offensive. So these are some of the general ones. Dress code is something that I think that we definitely need to come and look back at. I can tell you that I myself, more often than not, I'm shocked at some of the, like, the ways that some people dress when they go out in the public. And I'll be very honest, I miss the days in Dubai where there was actually a dress code for the malls, because it's not only for me a question about being in Dubai and being in Arabic culture and society. Even if we were anywhere in Europe, I still think that there is a way that you dress properly and respectfully towards others.
I very much agree with you. And also I highlight this from my own side. I'm a mixed race and I was born and raised in Europe. I do have Arab blood. I'm half Lebanese as you are, but I have exactly the same observation when it comes to the dress code and walking around the malls. I'm also sometimes shocked as a woman. So going to the third question, I think it's very important by living in the city as Dubai and you UAE overall, we do have so many nationalities, and we're working actually with a very mixed nationality environment overall in the daily basis also. So how we can, you know, show the respect to our colleagues, people who we meet, and they come from different culture and religious customs?
Well, I mean, we can, of course, show respect by learning a little bit about some of these different cultures and some of these different religions. When I say that, that doesn't mean that we have to follow the practices and the customs ourselves. But if we know what they are and have kind of understand why they are. And I also encourage people to inquire about, you know, try to learn about different cultures and different religions. And I always have found it very healthy that you dare to ask and that you dare to be curious. Now, for me, there's a big difference between challenging someone's beliefs. This, I believe, is a big no-go, no matter what these beliefs are. So never go with an approach that you're challenging, but that the fact that you might be curious and want to understand, okay, so what do you believe in? And what, this I think is completely okay. And then you just leave it, even though you might not agree, or you might think that this is very different from what you personally believe in. That's okay. No need to even mention that. Or you could say, well, you know, where I come from, this is what we believe and this is what we're taught. And then there's no one right, no one wrong, obviously. So I think that this is that. And once we know a bit about it, I think it's very good, you know, across religions. You know, today you have a lot of people who live here who are not Muslim, who will greet Muslim friends and colleagues with Eid Mubarak, for example, or Ramadan Mubarak. And so these are very normal things. But I've also, not just here in the UAE, even in Saudi Arabia, sometimes gotten messages of, for example, Happy New Year, even though if we look at a country like Saudi Arabia, there is a different New Year because you follow the Islamic, I mean, you follow both calendars. But, you know, it's not traditionally something that's celebrated in the same way. So in that sense, I think it's very interesting and it's very healthy.
Absolutely. We just simply should make everyone feel comfortable around us. And, you know, this extra knowledge is always extremely useful. I have always lots of curiosity about other cultures, religions, just as you said, simply to understand and know someone else better. So something very, I think, important when it comes to the business protocol, myself also lecturing on the personal branding, and I know how important, you know, the first impression is, the dress code, which we slightly touch, and the term of electronic etiquette. So I would like to hear from you if you can just highlight what is the most important elements from those three topics we should consider.
Absolutely. Well, the first impression, as you know, is done in a few seconds. So one of the big things that impact a first impression is obviously our appearance. And that is part of the reason why we need to dress appropriately, because people will judge us on the way we are dressed. And I know some people will say, yes, but they shouldn't judge on appearance, only on what's inside. But the truth of the matter is we all do judge and people on, to a certain extent, on appearance, because it gives us a first visual kind of, you could say, identification of a person. And sometimes, although you cannot know directly their values, but it does sometimes also help you go in certain directions. I mean, for me, dress code is very important, that it should never be offensive. Yes, absolutely. I do believe in the freedom of choice in these things, and that people can choose to a certain extent. But I don't see why someone's freedom of choice should be, you know, pulled down over the other heads. I can't choose necessarily if I'm walking in a mall what I see. And when I say that, I mean, as an adult man and a Dane, there are not many things that maybe will shock me directly. But then I think about, you have families here that walk with small children, and maybe these families don't want these small children to see certain things. And I don't want to say nudity, but we're almost there sometimes. So yeah, this is, I think dressing properly is good. And the last one, and this is something that has really run amok, is the electronic etiquette, because we live with our phones, and our phones is an amazing, I mean, it's an amazing what we can do with the phone today. We can literally be connected anywhere in the world round the clock. The problem is that, you know, just like it used to be considered bad manners to telephone anyone after 9 p.m. And I believe that this has actually moved. And actually, when I was a child, 8 p.m. was kind of the limit for that. But so these things move with time. Today, people will call you at much later times as well, usually not in business. But some people, they think, well, you know what? I don't call someone that late, but I can always send a WhatsApp message. But a WhatsApp message can also be disturbing. So that means that ideally this needs to also stop in a decent time. That doesn't mean that we don't WhatsApp each other, but we definitely should respect, and depending on the level of familiarity we have with these people. But I would say if you're in business, I don't agree with people WhatsApping outside the working hours, because I think that it's very disrespectful. And I'm very happy to see that more and more corporations now are setting actually quite rigid guidelines for when you can message fellow employees, when you can, you know, send emails. And while you could send an email very, you know, anytime, I think it's very important to know and understand that you cannot expect a reply outside of working hours. And you don't need to be offended if someone doesn't reply to your WhatsApp outside of working hours. And then if it's personal and it's not so much work related, then of course it's more a case of having the balance and how close are we with friends. And that way we set the rules together.
That's very, I think, important point. And, you know, I was slightly smiling to myself when we had this technical issues, you know, with the WhatsApp some time ago and the Instagram, and people being so panicked, you know, it's just sometimes makes you feel that the whole life of some people is just on this device and this applications. So I do very much agree with a certain, you know, time frame, and also when you're on the holidays, that other people respect that, that you have your personal time which you can dedicate to yourself, to your family. It's very much important. Going back slightly, and I very much want to ask you about just a few weeks back, we had this beautiful event of the coronation, and the entire world eyes were focused on Britain, of the coronation, of course, of the King Charles and Queen Camilla. We observed a ceremony which was arranged in a very traditional way, and I listened myself to several, you know, interviews, I read several publications, which suggest that the monarchy should consider to adapting those events to be more present and relevant to the 21st century. So I would like to hear your opinion on that.
Well, in my opinion, it was definitely very much adapted compared to what a coronation was. And even if we just look back to the late Queen Elizabeth II, her coronation was longer with a lot more people and a lot more ceremonious than the current one, which we saw. I also found that this time they really went out of their way to be much more inclusive when it came to other religions, even though you have to remember that the King of England or the Queen, whoever is regent, is the head of the Church of England as well. But this time they really wanted to be inclusive when it came to other religions. They were also very careful to be much more inclusive when it came to gender equality. So they had a lot more women involved. A lot of people were speaking about the woman in the green dress with the sword, you know, carrying it. But so they tried to do a lot of these things. Once upon a time, every royal person that would have entered the church, people would have stood up and they would have bowed or curtsied. This did not happen this time. This time it was only done really for His Majesty King Charles and Her Majesty Queen Camilla. So rather than having people getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down, which some people find to be maybe outdated, these are some of the things that definitely had changed. Then the fact that there was a concert on the next day, this was a way of grouping people from all walks of lives together to come. So no, I would have to say that for me, it is very up to date. I think that the ceremonies are very important. The symbolism is very important. And you're talking that this is the King of Great Britain, of course, and Northern Ireland. And so yes, it's a big deal. And of course, there has to be some ceremony, because that's part of the magic that's there as well. And if they were going to be like any just Hollywood stars, and it would just be one small red carpet event, then you would lose the magic that a kingdom or a monarchy has to offer.
So going back to the Gulf region, and also I'm very much pleased to observe the preparation for the royal wedding in Jordan and how they keep the, you know, and highlight the Arab tradition with the modern twist. I also truly believe that their approach brings a very positive image to the country and the region. And may I ask you also to highlight some events from the Gulf which you admire from the protocol perspective?
Well, if we talk about the upcoming royal wedding in Amman, Jordan, it's going to take place on the 1st of June. And definitely the Hashemite court, which is led by His Majesty King Abdullah and Her Majesty Queen Rania, they have managed marvelously to kind of preserve and keep Arab traditions, but also royal protocol in a way that we understand royal protocol in a more international scenario. Just to give you a very concrete example, we saw just last week they had the henna party for the women, where all these women were invited to do the henna for the bride. Traditionally, this would actually have been hosted by the bride's family, but this time, because it was in Jordan, it was hosted, of course, by Her Majesty the Queen. And so there are twists, there are things that are going to be a little bit different that we see. But I think we can look forward to a beautiful wedding on the 1st of June. I know that we have several royal heads of states, kings and queens. You have of the Netherlands, of the Belgians, they're going to be there. You have the Crown Prince couple of Denmark, of Sweden. You have the Crown Prince of Norway. You have so a princess from Japan coming, from Malaysia. So it's going to be, I'm sure, a wonderful event that we're going to observe.
Fantastic. I really can't wait, and I'm very pleased to observe everything. Yes. What is happening, you know.
And then you asked me, sorry, about a Gulf from a protocol perspective. You know, the latest big protocol event that comes to mind has to be Expo 2020. The amount of protocol that there was at Expo 2020, you know, with the national days and the flag raisings and so many visitors, heads of state and diplomats and ministers, needless to say, this was an amazing show of the importance that the United Arab Emirates gives to protocol on a day-to-day basis. And, it was for a protocol enthusiast, it was really a beautiful thing to watch.
Absolutely, you know, and I think what was very also important to highlight a part of the protocol, which is very, of course, important part of such events, but the hospitality level. And that was something that so many nationalities highlight and been amazed and been so impressed of the hospitality, how welcome the country, the city as Dubai was for them. And it was just, create such a beautiful image. And the reality, you know, what we actually experience here living in the city, living in this country. So, yes, absolutely. The Expo was one of the greatest events. Thank you, Ghassan, and thank you all for joining us for this insightful discussion regarding the business protocol. We hope you find value to explore the essential aspects of the professional conduct. Stay tuned for the part two, where we will take you on the journey to the world of the fragrances to discover this remarkable industry of the scents and the stories behind them. We can't wait to share with you more.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Pulse of Dubai with your host, Margaret. If you aren't already, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Google, or Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can visit us on thepodcast.ae and follow us on social media. See you next time.